Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, October 11th, 2018. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I'm going to cut straight to the punch. Give us a light, would you, sugar?
You're going to cut straight to the punch, you say?
Yeah, I am. You know, it's something my grandmother used to say.
So did your grandmother have punch that was maybe spiked or something, and that's why she wanted to go straight to it?
Maybe. I don't know. It's good to be here. Thanks for having us.
It's really great to have you here, sugar.
John Martellaro, sugar, it's good to have you here, too.
Certainly. That's all I have to say right now. Trying to keep a straight face amidst all the lunacy.
You know, your consummate professionalism is to be lauded, sir.
Yeah, definitely more than my
silliness.
Yeah, you are a consummate professional. That's how you manage it. And you put up with people like me, people like Brian.
With joy, I put up with you guys.
You are a saint. All right. So what I want to do to start is jump back and revisit part of our discussion from yesterday. And for those of you that can't remember what you had for lunch yesterday, don't feel bad. I'm with you. The topic I'm jumping back to is the discussion about subscription service overload for TV shows. And this stemmed out of the whole thing with looking at Disney starting a new service. We already have Hulu, we have Netflix, we have Amazon, we have Apple doing their thing soon, and HBO, and it goes on and on.
Acorn.
And since we recorded yesterday, I found out that Warner is getting in on this too, and Warner is starting their own streaming service soon. So now we know where all the Harry Potter stuff will end up going. And it does feel like we're hitting kind of an overload point, and we aren't even to the end game of this yet, because there are more services or more companies, studios, whatever, that are going to be doing this in the future, I'm sure. And wow, holy crap, it's kind of overwhelming. John, you had some more thoughts on this too.
Yeah, the first reaction I had was the finances of the situation. Right now you have a cable TV subscription, perhaps you pay about $100 a month. There's, for the sake of easy math, there's 100 or 200 channels. So the cable company that you have is paying the provider about $1.50 to $1.50 or $2 at most per channel. I think its average is about $1, something like that. So that if you subscribe to, say, National Geographic or USA Today, USA Network, you get a full suite of shows. You get it, you know, around the clock. You get lots of different things to choose from. If you've got a DVR, you can time shift and watch a lot of different shows at the time you choose. Same thing with these subscription services. There's a lot of products available on those different channels, on Netflix and Amazon. You get a lot of different shows. But these individual streaming services are going to be more isolated and focused on their content. And so you're going to pay $10 a month for those. And before you know it, as Adam Christensen lamented yesterday, before you know it, you're back up to, you know, over $100 a month for all these different subscription services. And it's, as you said, it's overload. How to pick and choose, how to match your favorite content to your pocketbook. It's getting increasingly difficult. And, of course, there's more money being made because cord cutting is a bit of a problem and the studios have to make up for the lost revenue from the cable and satellite providers. And so they've got this ingenious plan to soak you for $10 a month for their content and drum up excitement. And as I said yesterday, get you all focused and excited and invested in shows that you just got to have, so you just got to pay for them. So it's getting to be a real interesting situation, to put it professionally.
All right. Well, I have something else to toss into the mix, but before I do that, Brian, do you have any thoughts? that you want to add?
I do. This process is inevitable, right? Everybody, you know, sees their little chance to get their slice of the pie, or their slice of this new pie, or their new slice. I don't know. There's however you want to slice it. And it's this stuff won't survive. We can't have too much segmentation. And what's going to happen is that the market has got to figure that out. These companies have got to figure it out. And I imagine what's going to happen is that, like, you know, as some of these properties are less successful, we'll see some combining, right? You know, let's say, for instance, that just, you know, I don't actually think this would happen, but Disney and Warner could end up pooling their resources. And, you know, so that, you know, you can have multi, I consumers don't want 72 different subscriptions. Consumers also don't want to have to use 72 different apps to watch their shows.
Mm-hmm.
And figuring out the break point for what consumers are willing to pay means going too far. And unfortunately, we're not too far yet. We still have Apple to come.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I imagine that Warner Brothers is not going to be the last subscription service to the last studio empire to make their own subscription service. And we've with a semi-free market, you've got to go too far before it can be dialed back to something that is within the utmost that consumers are willing to pay.
Well, yes. Brian, just imagine that this conversation occurred that we just had at Apple boardroom. And Tim Cook is sitting on the table talking to his executives and saying, how are we going to break into this business? And this repeat the whole process that we just went through, the difficulty of subscribing and unsubscribing, the overload, the segmentation of the shows, trying to figure out where your content is. And then you feel like you're being nickeled and dimed to death. So how are we going to break into this business? We've spent billions of dollars, or committed billions so far, to content, great original content. And now we're going to have to go up against an environment where people are stingy and reluctant to add a new service.
It's not stingy.
Well, penny mindful of their expenditures. So it would be absolutely brilliant of Apple to follow through on what Jeff wrote about this morning in the news, to say, okay, we're going to start it off free. Everything's free, all free. Get the TV app on your phone or your Apple TV and just watch it for free and just blow out everybody else. Get people interested, get people to experiment.
There is no way Apple's doing this for free. Did you say that this morning, Jeff?
All right, so this was the thing I was going to toss into the mix. But here's what the story is. CNBC says that their insider sources are saying that Apple's going to offer all of its original content through the TV app for free. And
which I believe.
And I believe that there's a kernel of truth in there. What I think is that Apple will offer an episode or two from the shows for free. And then if you want to see the rest of the series, then you sign up for whatever their streaming service will be.
Too much friction.
We got to back up. First of all, I'm about to be, there's a siren going by my house.
They're coming to take you away.
Apparently. So I'm about to be proven wrong about Apple ditching Lightning for USB-C. So, you know, keep that in mind. But Tim Cook has talked on and on and on about the importance of increasing services revenues and about that being a profit center and a growing profit center for Apple. Apple is looking to subscription video content, original video content, as a way of growing services revenue. There's no way they're going to do this for free. No, Brian, you didn't let me finish. No way.
You didn't let me finish. The reason I disagreed with Jeff was because of the concept that Jeff elaborated on over and above the original CNBC article that I saw was that a few of them would be free, or that the first few episodes would be free. I think the whole thing is going to be free as a way to let people explore and learn and enjoy for a year, just like they did with Apple.
That's crazy.
Okay, for 90 days. But then after a year, then your services aspect kicks in. And
they're not doing it. They might do it for 90 days. They're not doing it for a year. 90 days, a trial offer, I can see. A year, no way.
Well, some
no way.
Some longer period of time to get people to
90 days up. At the most, 30 days maybe. It'll be similar to Apple Music.
Let's say 6 months.
No way. Why would they? That's crazy, John.
The reason they would do that is because there is so much competition out there for your subscription dollar that Apple has to figure out how to break into this market. And the way to do that is to do it for free and do it for a while. The long term, for the next decade, they'll be pulling in billions of dollars. No. For the first year, they've got to break into this market.
Listen, they're not going to hook anyone in 6 months that they didn't hook someone in 3 months, just like Apple Music.
Mm-hmm.
And their way to break through this, John, Apple has something that no one else has, which is this massive ecosystem of, is it a billion people yet? Hundreds of millions of people.
It's a metric truckload of people.
And that's something that Warner Brothers doesn't have. It's not even something that Disney has. So
something that Apple isn't going to have is this isn't going to have a lot of sex and violence, and that's going to be a good, solid, respectable content. And so that's another thing.
Well, there you go. All right. I accept your apology.
So they have to get people hooked on the good quality and they won't
be able to. But they don't need to do that for 6 months.
We're excited about the kind of stuff you see on.
Doesn't need to be for 6 months. That's crazy.
Most people know if they're going to like a show within 2 episodes, 3 episodes tops.
Yeah, but it's the whole concept of saying, okay, I've been watching this for a long time now. I've got to have this. Look what Hulu did. Hulu started off with an absolutely free service, and then they introduced commercials, and then they had a 2-tier system.
And then they added original content.
Yeah, so it's this whole industry is about boiling the customer's frog, getting them hooked, getting them.
Well, no, John, your Hulu example doesn't argue to this. Hulu didn't add the original content until they were charging.
That's true. Yeah, I had forgotten about that part. Yeah,
3 months. 3 months is fine. Like the same sort of trial period that they did for Apple Music will be just fine.
People will watch it and then they'll kind of drift away and they'll get distracted. You got to get people fully committed and involved and saying, I can't live without this. And it's sampling isn't enough to do that.
What they're doing with Apple Music seems to be working just fine. And
yeah, but music doesn't require the same kind of time commitment and viewing commitment.
And I have seen shows where... I'm trying to remember. It's like on Amazon, you can get some shows for free, but then to see the rest, you have to pay for the season.
Mm-hmm.
And if you like it enough, you're going to pay. And
yeah,
if
you don't, John, I don't like Jeff's idea of just a couple of episodes for free either. A free subscription service that automatically rolls over into charging you, just like Apple Music, is the only way for Apple to go on this. Doing a few episodes of every show for free, that's not going to work. There's no need to go for 6 months or a year either.
Let's just take this article at face value. The face value of the article is it going to be free? There's no elaboration. There's no insight. There's no extra caveats. The article at CNBC I read said it's going to be free, not free for 6 months or 90 days.
Yes, that's exactly what they're saying. It's just free, period. Just and free. I think they're wrong.
We're overlaying all this business policy speculation.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of it being just free either. That makes no sense either.
So, Brian, I have to jump back just a bit. You said offering an episode or two for free. That just won't work. And I offer up CBS All Access and Star Trek Discovery. There are a lot of people that watched episode one for free because that was the only one that was available, and then signed up so that they could watch the rest of the season.
It's also different in that Star Trek is a franchise. It's an existing franchise with a massive fan base that is distinctly tuned into that franchise. And Apple is not launching its video service with existing franchises.
There you go.
No, but it is launching with existing talent, like Ronald D. Moore, Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing at all. There's no one, like, people haven't been pining for amazing stories. Like, oh my God, man, you don't have amazing stories.
No, but people do pine for Ronald D. Moore content.
I'm making popcorn.
Not the same thing. Listen, I am all prepared to be wrong about USB-C and Lightning. And I will similarly, I'll just, you know, like, you know, what did I joke this morning? Like, you know, fool me once, twice, three times to find 10 times and shame on you. Mm-hmm. But that 11th time, man, that's on me. Well, I will go on the record here. Apple is not going to just make its video service free, carte blanche, period, end of sentence. And if they do any kind of free thing, it'll be a free trial. It'll be very similar to Apple Music. The end.
So Brian, you and I agree in
wait a minute, where's my
concept.
Bill? Where's my bill?
Because I am with you in that there will be something free, but it's not a free service. And John, this time I do have to disagree with you. Apple is not going to do a thing where it's like 6 months or a year for free.
You're both wrong.
Well, if Apple stays on the trajectory that people are talking about right now, then we will know in the first half of 2019. And it'll be great because then we can all point fingers at each other and say we were all wrong in some way, I'm sure.
Somehow I feel like that's not going to be as easy as you're saying right now.
No, it could totally happen.
Somehow.
We can all point fingers at each other.
Somehow.
I'm thinking that
may be a little more difficult. Anyway, we'll see.
Maybe we
will see.
But I bet we could make it happen.
I bet we could make it happen. Fair enough.
So we have like 2 minutes left.
Yeah, hold on. let me just. I got to warm up. Okay, I'm good. Go ahead.
All right.
Ryan's wrong.
So, John, you
John Kelly, are you listening?
Yeah, John, you had a something you wanted to say about this, some of the new stuff that's happening with the Google phones that were announced yesterday.
Yeah. Google has introduced this new feature on their Pixel phones called Call Screen. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. And I don't know if it's going to be shipping sooner or later, but they demoed it. And the concept is that when you get a phone call, the agent, AI agent answers and says, I'm an AI agent. I'm answering on behalf of John. Who are you? And tell me what you want to talk to him about. And it records and transcribes the response, throws up the transcription on the display, lets you read it. And then you can decide whether you want to engage the caller or not. And this is sort of like what I have with AT&T, because when people leave a message, I get an AT&T transcription of it in my recent calls, and I can read it without having to listen to it, which works pretty well most of the time. So the guts and the technology are almost there with Apple, mm-hmm. except that Siri is not yet smart enough to be able to answer my calls and do the transcription as AT&T service does, and do some magic and then let me decide whether I want to ignore the person or engage them. It's called Google's Call Screen, and it's an example of, I think, of Google's sort of, you know, we're Avis, we're second, we're trying harder from the old ad campaign of the 70s. And so when obviously they're not selling 70 million phones a quarter like Apple is, or 50 to 70. But they've got to do something to exercise their expertise in AI and make a splash and get the Pixel phone, you know, more on people's radars.
Well,
and this is a great feature that I think is going to put pressure on Apple.
Yes, I like it because, well, first, it's actually a pretty cool and useful feature. But second, because I look at this and think, all right, this is some real competition, not just for the iPhone, but for the AI space. And this means that Apple needs to be paying close attention to what Google is doing with features like this so that they can remain competitive with iPhone, with Siri, and with AI in general.
Yeah, to be fair,
technical development too, because people laugh at Google when they come out with, you know, trial things, and we were all kind of skeptical about Google Duplex making restaurant reservations at first, and there was some sort of titillation, you know, this is just a fad, it's just not going to really work, and a lot of discussion about it. But what's dangerous is to ignore it, because what happens is a company like Google has the intellectual capacity to double down and make things like this work, and then by a version 2 or 3. They're way ahead of you, and you've got some serious catching up to do.
Okay, so I know we're running out of time, but Google has been way ahead on the with Google Now, for instance. Google Now beats the crap out of Apple's what is that calling it? Not today.
Proactive.
Yeah, I mean, like Google Now just stomps the crap out of Proactive and Today both, and it hasn't kept Apple from selling more high-end phones, and Google doesn't sell a lot of phones at all. Pixel is a very tiny, tiny seller. So
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I want Apple to be more competitive in this space. I don't know if this service is going to suddenly like turn the tide and turn Pixel into a massive seller.
Probably not.
No, but it's cool what they're doing, and I love the idea of real competition in this space.
What I don't like the idea is letting Google have further mitts into me.
Yeah, well, we can all dream, Brian. Hey, we're out of time. We have to wrap up. So, Brian, thank you for being here today.
Yeah, it's very nice to see you again.
It's so sweet to see ya. John, I'm glad you're here too.
And you're both still wrong. And happy happy tidings to both of you.
See, look at that. John is still the consummate gentleman, even when he's slamming us, Brian.
It's true. It's true. Even when, yeah.
Even when. Hey, listeners, I am so glad you were here. Thank you for joining us. It's always great to have you along for the ride. I hope everyone has a wonderful day, and we'll see you again tomorrow.